Hi there, listener. It's Matthew. You've come looking for an episode of the Children's Book Podcast, and you've found it. Hooray! But you're probably wondering why the name of the podcast has changed. After 8 years of doing the Children's Book Podcast, I began a new career as head of podcasts at A Kids Company About, where I now oversee a podcast network dedicated to producing original content that talks up to kids, centers the things going on in their world, and engages and challenges how they see the world and themselves. All of the episodes of the Children's Book Podcast are still here, but now, if you're subscribed, you'll get new episodes of Worth Noting, a kids podcast about current events, hosted by me. Something for you and the young people in your life to enjoy together. Enjoy this episode, and I hope you'll check out Worth Noting and other podcasts from A Kids Company About. All the Wonders, the Children's Book Podcast, is brought to you today in part by Audible, offering anytime, anywhere listening of your favorite audiobooks with the biggest selection ever, and it's all backed by Amazon. Listeners of the All the Wonders podcast might enjoy Solo by Newbery-winning author Kwame Alexander. Failure, family struggles, and making a name for yourself while avoiding the name your washed-up, rock star, addiction-torn father has earned by reputation is hard. This book is free verse. It sings off the page. And the audiobook is read by Kwame himself, with Randy Preston, a singer, guitarist, and Kwame's sidekick on Bookish, his new web series. Visit the show notes for this episode at allthewonders.com and start your free trial with Audible and support this podcast with the same click of a mouse or tap of a screen. I hope you'll go try it out and see for yourself. Happy listening. Meet Penny Thomas, and a very resilient man. Welcome to All the Wonders, the Children's Book Podcast. I'm Matthew Winner. This is episode number 412 of the podcast with Penny Thomas. Penny's debut picture book is called Nemosham and His Bus. It's a book about basic Cree words, and yet it's much, much more than that. It's about our relationship to the elderly, and it's about losing a language as much as, in many ways, it's about losing someone important in your life. It's a book I find shows me something new with each read, and one I know will give to you in that way as well. Please enjoy. Here's episode number 412 of the podcast with Penny Thomas. Welcome to the podcast, Penny Thomas. I'm glad we get to talk today.
Oh, good. Thank you. I'm glad to be here. Glad to talk to you.
I'm glad that from afar we can connect despite the internet trying to stop us.
I know. It's great.
Well, Penny,
Finally.
I know. And we've been trying to make schedules match too. So this is really a treat for me because just because I've gotten to live with your book for a little while, and that's exciting to me. So first, why don't I give you a chance to just introduce yourself to the people listening, to the people that don't know your name.
Okay. My name is Penny Thomas. I'm from Canada. I'm Cree Ojibwe background, and I'm talking about my second children's book today.
And that's
called Nemosham and His Bus.
I was going to say that second children's book, Nemosham and His Bus, is so wonderful. I think that the perfect timing.
Oh, thank you.
And Karen's illustrations. Oh my word!
I love her.
I mean, I how know. Gorgeous I was, is this book? I
was,
yeah,
I was blown away. I really was when I seen it.
It's the quality of illustrations that made me hurry to the internet and look up more of her work. I looked at her online portfolio.
Yeah.
I just loved it.
Yeah, I love all the little animals and just the mood, eh?
Oh, the spread. We're going to jump into, here we go already. Look at this. But the, I'm gonna get into what this book is, but to go ahead to the spread about Nimishim's good days and bad days and the animals outside watching the buses pass, that's one of my favorite spreads. I just I love this book.
Yes, I like that one too. The different color, eh?
Oh yeah. Gorgeous, gorgeous water, just everything. Everything is working in this book. And as of the time that we're recording, it's not quite out yet. I have a note that
it's not
end of October, right? Comes out. So for when we're recording, it comes out basically next week.
Next week.
But we'll be celebrating with this live when this podcast is live. As people are listening, Nimishim and his bus will be out in the world. So Penny, if you don't mind, why don't you share a little bit about what this book is about?
Okay, it's a book about basic Cree words. It's just Cree words that we use in my family, basic ones that my kids learn. Like Cree's, people don't speak Cree anymore. It's becoming a lost language. So there's very little words we do speak, and these are the major ones that we use in our home, in my family. So I use that. My publisher wanted another Cree book, Portage and Main Press, and I was working on one for a while, and I wanted to use one just using the words that my children knew, and that's where I got started. And it's about my mushum. And my mushum. Mushum means my grandfather. The cover of the book, all throughout the book, it's my grandfather. He drove a bus all of his life, and I thought, when I thought of a character for this book, I thought, you know what? Who better to use than my mushum? So
this is your grandfather? Driving the bus. I didn't.
This is my grandfather.
What a even more special story to know that it's that close to your heart, Penny. Oh my goodness!
Oh, it is. Yeah. It really is.
You know, I know that we experience books. We all experience books differently because of where we come from, where our experiences. To me, reading this story and being a teacher and also being a person that went to school, there was an elderly individual in my life. For me, it was this crossing guard that that I had this connection with, that he was there every day. He was always there. And the feeling I got reading this book, the feeling not only, though, in this case, of learning new words and of understanding that, but also of seeing universal relationships, and
That's
how
right.
that person that sees you every day can be a barometer for your day and for how you see the world.
Mm-hmm.
You've really made quite a love story for your mushum. You really made such a beautiful story for him.
Thank you. My family is excited about this book and to see it and for the release of it because, he was a really special man. I had responses from people in my community saying, I heard about your book. You know, he used to drive me when I was little.
Whoa.
And that's that. Yeah. And that's like, that was from the chief of our community saying that.
Penny,
drive them when he was little.
I have goosebumps on my arms. I can, wow. That memory of was he the one, not quite knowing as a child what face that was, but knowing it was a special face, knowing it was a special person.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So your grandfather drove you to school for how many years did he
drive?
Oh, no, not you.
He didn't drive me. He drove a lot of people in the community, though, for all of his life.
Oh.
Right. Till he got sick and
He
drove all of his life.
And to know that, to come from teaching and to know that a person that drives a bus every day has a special kind of love and patience for children.
Oh, yeah.
I think speaks volumes of your grandfather. Yeah.
Yeah. You'd have to, driving the bus. That's when all the kids are all grumpy in the morning and
and wild in the afternoon.
Yeah. You'd have to be patient.
Yeah. But in this story, for you to communicate through your grandfather through Cree, this is the only language we hear grandfather speak. The only language we hear Nimishim speak is in Cree, through a child that that uses that phrase, my grandfather. But I know that the other children on the bus would have been then having a different experience. Perhaps, is it safe to assume that the other children on the bus may not all have known these words, or would this? I mean, was
some of them would, depending on where you go. Kegwis is where my mushroom lived, was mainly Ojibwe.
Oh, okay.
But there is a lot of people of Cree background there as well.
So to be in a community with people that have that background would plant that understanding. As I read it, not having that background, but making that connection of the individual in my life, I could feel that love and resonance of these are words that are coming from this special person in my life, and I seek to understand them because in understanding these words, I understand the person.
Yeah. And the thing to note there, like you're exactly right there, is because in our First Nation communities, any elder, no matter who they are, like they're considered, you can call them gran or mush. Like my husband is a nurse and he worked at a senior home, and he called everybody gran, or everybody was mush to him. And that's kind of how among First Nation people, that's kind of how it seems. So what you're saying is exactly right, because you would listen. I mean, there's that sense of respect, right, that he has throughout the book. And they kind of all know him, right? He's the bus driver. He's Mushroom. Like, everybody would know him that way.
Yes. The language that you use to approach the story is so much of seeing how he respected the children and how they respected him. I love that there's a line here. Where does it get? When he's on the CB, you wrote, if Numasham was on the CB radio and kids were trying to get his attention, he would kindly tell them, Cheskwa. Cheskwa means way.
Cheskwa. Yeah.
He always talked. Cheskwa?
Yeah.
Yeah. And Cheskwa. You say, he always talked to them when he was finished, though, to show that quality. He said, wait.
Yeah,
but he
yeah.
always talked to them when he was finished. He would say, Kekwan? Is that?
Kekwan, yeah.
Kekwan?
Yeah, that's
Kekwan
right.
Kekwan means what? I just, reading that, I was learning words. Of course, those of us that aren't familiar with Cree are learning these words, but we are also learning the kindness of this person. Not only, I mean, you were mentioning that any elder in the community you were mentioning for First Nations people is respected, but I'm also seeing this elder is respecting the young people that that are under his care.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, and he really was that type of man too. So that's what makes it so great, eh?
I love it.
Yeah.
Oh, Penny, my heart is swelling to know that this is. I have not known going into this, but to know that this is your grandfather, and that such a beautiful book was created both through your words pouring out, but also again through Karen's illustrations and just capturing that.
Oh yeah, she did so beautifully. I'm so happy with her work.
How literal does this go? Did you actually share with Karen photos of him? Is this his likeness?
You know, I did. You know, the very last picture is the truest likeness of him. Nimushim was a good man. And there's a picture of him at the very back, right next to the Cree word list. That's off of a portrait of him that she drew. And it's almost dead on.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, she did really good.
Well, so you, let me ask you about your childhood, about your, not necessarily your childhood, but about your relationship to your grandfather. Knowing that he was a bus driver, what kind of a person was he in your life? I'm going to guess that not only did he love the children he was caring for, but showed that love for you even more so. But I'd love just to hear more about him in your life.
I never knew him when I was little, actually. I didn't meet my grandparents. I lived away, right? And so when I came back around, I was about 10. So, but he was always my favorite person, I could tell you that. Oh. He's one of the first people out of that, out of my dad's family that I got to know well. And he was a very humble, quiet man. He was a Christian man, so he had Christian values. He was a residential school survivor. Yes. He was a very resilient man. He was very respected in our family, and very loved.
Well, you write this story from a place where we know, as a reader, we know that he is no longer with us because of your use of the past tense verbs, right? That he drove a school bus. Sometimes he spoke in Cree, and you move on to say in the end, as you read already with that beautiful portrait at the end, that he was a good man. He was a good man. I mean, to have, again, a time capsule in that way, a picture book that stands as not only something that you can see your own grandfather in, but that we... that children can see those individuals in their life, but also those of us that read to our children. I was reading this to my 7-year-old and my 2-year-old, and each time I read it, I had those swellings up of the individuals in my life that were these older generations as I was a child, who I know were influential in my life.
I'm happy to hear that, you know, because that's really important for us. To remember those people in our lives, right?
Yes.
Like that's really good. I'm glad to hear that.
Penny, one of my favorite illustrations in this book comes right in the middle when the text reads, "All the kids like Nehemosham. Nehemosham had the best smile at Christmas. They brought him presents. They always made his day." You look closely at the children bringing presents, and the presents they're bringing are a pine cone, a feather, some coffee. Yeah. And I felt like that illustration is so pure. It's so pure and innocent, and it's just spot on for the gifts the children give. I wondered how much of that how much even of this entire story did Karen bring to the table, and how much of it were things that you were telling her beyond the manuscript?
When we talked about it, well, when I wrote that page, I wanted to say something about his smile because he really did have the best smile. And I thought, how am I going to write that? And then I thought about the bus drivers in our community and Christmas and the relationship my kids had when we lived in the community with their bus drivers, and they would always take them whatever, you know, a gift of some sort, a gift card or something like that. And it's common, right? So that's how I did that. And then when I told Karen about it, I didn't tell her Christmas presents, what to put. So she brought a lot. When I seen the sketches, she did have the feather and she had the pine cone. And I thought that was great. You know, I just said, you know, typical things a kid would bring when we communicated. And she brought that. And I said, you know what, like I gave her the example, like coffee. Something, you know, not a big present or anything. And then, so she did bring a lot. She really did good.
Yeah.
I was very happy when I seen it.
To have Nehemosham holding up his coffee canister and to have the first child clutching the can of coffee. I mean, it just is, it's that show of, you know, that this is a kid that sees what would be perfect to give him. I know just the thing.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I mean, even the same with the pine cone, same with the feather. You can just, as I'm reading it, as I poured over these illustrations, reading the illustrations, I just felt like, well, these children know him and love him. So these are things that they know that he would love.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like that one, too. I really, when she showed me the sketches of this, of course, the sketches weren't as detailed, right? So I was kind of, I didn't like there. A lot of the things wasn't in the sketch, but when she brought the final draft over, of course, everything was a lot more detailed, and it was just so much better. You know, I was, like I said at the beginning, I was really blown away when I got the final draft of it. I was really blown away. I was very proud of her work.
Well, I like too that you were able to have some interaction with her. I know sometimes when picture books are made, there is little to no interaction between the author and the illustrator. But I feel like for what this story is and what it's trying to accomplish, it was special and perhaps even advantageous that you both had a chance to talk.
Yes, it really was, because you know when she got the book and we did talk about Mushroom. And I told her that I was going to send her a portrait. So she says, okay, yeah, that would be great. You know, anything to help me. Send her a picture of Mushroom. She goes, it's exactly how I pictured him. So it was really awesome that way. It worked out great.
Have you and Karen met before face to face?
No, we've never met.
No. That's so neat that you...
We just spoke.
Yeah, I was saying you've communicated over the internet, but you've also made a thing together. There's a thing that you made.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, it's amazing.
Well, it will be neat to when that time, eventually I'm sure that time will come that your paths will cross.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be neat to see. Mm-hmm. I think about the readers that you share this with and how they could even see you in these illustrations of your grandfather, or they could see themselves too. But just that, I always, one of my points of pride, my grandfather was one of my favorite people in my life. There's a specific photo that I hold on to, I keep out on my desk in my office that, I think I look like my grandfather, and I've been told that I look like my grandfather in that picture. And that makes me feel really, really special that there's some of him that people can see in me, because I certainly know that there are qualities of him that I possess as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I get what you mean. That's exactly how I feel about this book. It was like what you said earlier. It really was something really close to my heart. I mean, the Cree, the language and everything is great to be writing and teaching the language, but the character was what really made the book. And also the fact that he did drive a school bus, that we could use his school bus in the story, which was his life, you know. But I mean, and also on another note, like little kids don't like school buses?
Yeah, it's such a universal symbol, right?
Yeah,
we all know what it means.
Yeah.
And I think every kid that's been on a bus has a bus story, because you don't just sit on a bus and you appear at school. There's a life that happens on a school bus.
And to hear
or to see the heartbeat of that life on that school bus is a neat thing.
Mm-hmm.
I can't shake though that you had mentioned in the beginning that your publisher had requested for you to write another book in Cree.
Well, I wrote Powwow Counting in Cree first, right?
Yeah.
And that was a good book. I also had a good illustrator for that one. And it won a book award at the Manitoba Book Awards.
And congratulations on that.
Thank you. And I just kind of, I just didn't know what to do next. You mean your first book wins an award and you're
like, now what?
I'll just sit.
That's right.
Just sit low for a while.
No pressure, Penny. No pressure.
I don't know what to do next, you know? And I kind of asked for some, what should I do? I want to do another book. And I didn't know. And she goes, you know, we'd love more Cree words. And I said, really? You really would? And she said, yeah. And I was, okay, you know? So that's where, how we got started. And, I always had this on my computer. I had a list of words that I would use in future books, you know, just because when you write, you just write down ideas. And I just picked these off of one of my lists. And then that's how it got started. And then, And then Mushroom right away, he was in my head. So, that's how it all came about.
I have to just call it out again. The way you talk about Mushroom, it makes me just smile. I just am smiling. The affection that I hear, I just love it. Well, I think that it's, I don't, we all should be so happy and so blessed, I should say, to have those great figures in our lives. I know for not everyone is it a grandfather or a grandmother. I know that for some of us, it's a neighbor. For some of us, it's a parent. I know that there's a special person. But to be so lucky to express to others our love and gratitude for who they are and what they did in their life is a gift. And so I'm so grateful, Penny, that you're sharing that gift with us. That's what I keep coming back to in my mind. So
thank you.
So you mentioned also at the beginning of the recording about Cree not being a language that's spoken anymore, and that it's a bit of a language that's going away.
Yeah, it really is. So, I mean, Canada is doing a really good, they're doing really good at bringing it back right now. But in the last 10 years, I think it's been lost a lot, but I think in the previous, maybe three, I've seen a lot of talk about Cree put in the curriculum, and that's great. When I was little, my granny used to speak it to me, my mother's mother, and I took Cree in high school, and I was fluent. I could write in syllabics. I could read syllabics, and syllabics are signals for the Cree words, like symbols, right? Not signals, symbols. And by the time I got to university, I had nobody to talk to. By the time kids were born, it was gone.
I was going to say that phrase is you use it or lose it, right? If you're not using
it, that's right.
It's hard to retain it. Although I'm sure if brought into the right circumstances, it would come back relatively quickly, we find, when we have those opportunities to exercise that. Mm-hmm. But what excited me then about that is that it sounds like there are your publisher as well as other organizations are trying to help keep it alive. And perhaps even
that
by...
makes me so happy.
Yeah. And I was going to say, Penny, perhaps even by sharing these stories with our young readers, it will instill in them an interest and a curiosity that next generation will also work to help keep it alive and revitalize the language and understand the history behind the language.
Yes, I agree completely. I'm really grateful that my publisher, they are a publishing company, and they do, I mean, they really helped me when I brought them this. You know, I wasn't sure. If my first book, I wasn't sure, like, who's going to publish a Cree book, you know? But they right away, they said, it's a learning opportunity. And so it turned out great for me. And you're right about the language. I hope it does spark an interest, because it's so important to who we are as First Nation people.
Yes.
And, you know, because we are losing it. I mean, I barely speak it anymore. Like I said at the beginning, these words I have in this book, these are the common Cree words I use with my husband, with our kids. Other than that, we don't speak in conversations, you know, like it's very important.
I'm hearing you say that. And it also reminds me that for, the work that publishers do both in Canada and in America and internationally, there are not many stories about or from, I should say, First Nations people. And I think that it's important that knowing these publishers, you said you were looking for a publisher that this would be a good fit for. I think knowing those publishers, and for those of us on my end, on the library end, and on that reader end, to become more familiar with those publishers so that we can read and purchase and support their books so that we can continue to have more, I think is wildly important. So I'm glad that you saw in this publisher a place, a home for your stories.
Oh, and I'm
that,
very grateful.
They saw that in you too.
I'm very grateful for Portage and Main and High Water Press. I really am. Yeah. I mean, they do great work with, like you said, Aboriginal issues, artists. They've got all kinds of books
They are.
That you, anybody could learn about like this. And also, something I did want to point out about this book is that there is no pronunciation guide in it.
No, there's not. I've been trying my best to pronounce them the best way I can.
Yeah. My first book had there was pronunciation, and this one didn't. And we realized it after it was sent to print. I don't know how we missed it, but so we put it on the website, on the Portage and Main Press website. That's where you can find the pronunciation guide for Nimushim and his bus. And it's free. You can just download it. Yeah.
I'm making a note of it right now. On the website. I will actually say, as a reader unfamiliar with these words, if I could be so candid to share my experience, it felt to me as if, when I read this book, I felt like I was riding on this bus with Nimushim. And I also felt like these are words that I don't know. And so the experience I had was pronouncing them the best way that I heard them. So it will be really important for me to go onto this website and learn the right way to pronounce it. And I was just having those moments of, I wonder how many of my students have heard words spoken in Urdu, have heard words spoken in Spanish, have heard words spoken in any language that they hear in my school from their friends, and have heard it a certain way, but then go and find out the right way to pronounce it. Because in finding that right way, we're able to show respect for that person and their culture. So there was, I just to be candid with you, there was a lot of that going on in the background for me of just, oh, this is challenging me and making me want to learn more. So I'm grateful that that your publisher has put that online. I'll make sure that I link to that so that other people who discover this book can also have that resource.
I mean, it's pretty straightforward. Sounding them out is pretty close, you know, to how it's actually pronounced. So, I mean, it's not, you'll find that the pronunciation guide is not that much. There's not much more added than what you see at the back of the book. These are, relatively simple. Yeah. The way you sound them out is pretty much how they sound. So,
Penny, you know, what's gonna stick with me too, though, is that I'm looking at this word list right now, this Cree word list, and all I can picture now is you at your house in front of your writing area, whatever that may look like, with a list of Cree words, and these words somehow culminated together to tell you this is the story to tell. I love that you said these were the words that felt like this story.
Yeah, yeah. And these are the first words, if you are Cree, these are the first words your kids will probably learn from you. Yes, no, thank you. Okay, ekuse, you know, that's it. Kegwan, what? Fancy. I mean, they're all first words, you know. When a kid's learning how to speak, those are probably the first words they're going to learn. So,
yeah. Mm. Is there anything
most common
else?
Said parent.
Yeah.
Pre-parent words.
It's not uncommon.
Wait.
Wait. That's right. Wait.
Just watch.
You're right. I can hear speaking as a parent and listening to you as a parent going like, oh yeah, that's probably a word Penny says all the time.
Yeah.
Mine would be sit down, sit down. That's my 2-year-old. My 2-year-old at dinner tonight. Sit down, Julia, sit down, sit down.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that. Is there anything else, Penny, that we didn't get a chance to talk about that you want to make sure readers of this story and also just listeners listening to the background of this story want to know? Is there anything else we didn't cover?
No, you were pretty thorough. We covered a lot, actually.
Oh, you were very generous with all that you shared. So I'm glad we got that.
Oh, thank you.
Well, I'll look forward, Penny, to this book being out and to others connecting with it, because I always love it. How sharing online these books that we all read, connecting with different readers. I like that. I like seeing the life of a book like that, where you could see it reach out and out. So I wish you many, many lives reached out and out as this book, your second book, goes out into the world.
Oh, thank you very much. Much appreciated.
Well, before
much
we leave,
appreciated.
Oh, of course. Thank you. I mean, really deeply. Thank you for sharing this book with me. Thank you to your publisher to share this book with me. It was a beautiful book. It was just the right one. Just the right one. Penny, before I go with you, I would like to give you a chance to speak to those readers, up in Canada, to those readers down here in Baltimore, to the readers all over that that this inevitably will connect with through the story, through their teachers. However, I'll word it this way. I'll see a library full of children tomorrow morning. Is there a message that I can bring to them from you?
I'd like to say hello, first of all, Tansy. And I'm really excited about this book and for everybody to read it. And keep up all the good work learning to read and reading in school. And I hope you like my book. And that's all I have to say. Ecosy.
This podcast is recorded and produced by me, Matthew Winner, in my library studio in Ellicott City, Maryland. You can subscribe to the podcast and access the archive of over 400 episodes at All the Wonders, a home for readers to discover new books and to experience the stories they love in wondrous ways. Go beyond the book at allthewonders.com and check out other podcasts from All the Wonders, including the Picture Booking Podcast with Nick Patton, a semi-weekly podcast about picture books and the people who make them, and Books Between, a podcast hosted by Karina Allen, helping to connect kids ages 8 to 12 and their parents, teachers, and librarians with books they'll love. Our theme music is composed by Emily Arrow. All views and opinions expressed on the show are those of the individuals, myself included, and do not reflect ideas or viewpoints of the publishers of the books referenced. Listeners, if this episode connected with you, I would love to hear it. Leave a comment on allthewonders.com or rate this podcast through Apple Podcasts or Stitcher, through stars or reviews. Sharing the podcast with friends through Facebook, Twitter, word of mouth, or any other means helps reach more listeners, which leads to more content and more amazing guests. And that is a very good thing indeed. Coming up on the podcast, Drew Daywalt returns to share The Legend of Rock, Paper, Scissors and BB-8 on the Run. See you then, and thanks for listening. We know you value what you put in front of your kids, especially when it comes to screens and podcasts. That's why we're excited to share a new podcast from our friends at Sleepiest, creating bedtime stories to help your kids fall asleep fast.
Hello, Abby here. If you've got children and find bedtime's a struggle, I'd like to tell you about Coco Sleep, a children's story podcast designed to make bedtime a dream. Coco Sleep turns a chaotic bedtime into cozy bonding time. The stories are delivered in a pace that gently slows. Rumour has it that no one's ever heard an ending. So search Coco Sleep on your favourite podcast app and let's make bedtime a dream. That's K-O-K-O Sleep, and I'll see you there.